It happened 1 week ago. An apparently normal man, a wealthy man, calmly and quietly amassed a huge arsenal of weapons that may have been modified to make them even more deadly, checked into a hotel room on the 32nd floor of a Las Vegas casino with 10 suitcases full of guns and ammo, and at 10 p.m. began firing from his window upon a crowd of thousands gathered for an outdoor country music festival. He killed 58, wounded nearly 500, before turning his weapon on himself as a SWAT team approached his room. The one question on all of our minds is, why? And so far, no answer has appeared. We are left to ponder an act of sickening, appalling violence happening for no discernible reason, with the even more disturbing awareness that this is neither the first nor the last mass shooting that our nation must endure. And if such an apparently harmless man can rain down so much death and destruction so unexpectedly in such a short time, how long will it be before the next one? Where will it happen next time? And what, if anything, can we do to keep ourselves and others safe? The problem is that there is no truly isolated act of violence anywhere in the world. Violence begets violence in a never-ending cycle because the nearly universal reaction to violence is more violence. North Korea launches another ballistic missile in flagrant violation of international law, and we respond with threats of even more violent retaliation if they dare to attack us or our allies. Another life is snuffed out in Baltimore in retaliation for another act of violence that preceded it, which may well have been in retaliation for yet another act of violence. And violence begets violence right here in Carroll County. No community, no family, no congregation is immune. So we gather here this morning for an answer to the violence, or a gleam of hope at least, or failing that, at least a brief escape. And what do we get in our gospel reading today? More violence. Jesus tells a story, and thank God it's only a story, about a bunch of brutally violent tenant farmers who not only refused to return to the landowner his share of the crop, but savagely beat and kill and stone those whom the master sends. And then worst of all, when the landowner sends his son, they murder the son as well and claim the vineyard as their own. And when Jesus asked his opponents, who by the way are already plotting to put Jesus to an even more horribly violent death himself, when Jesus asks them what the landowner will do to those brutal tenants, they answer immediately, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to others. They know the way of the world. They know the only answer to violence is more violence. The answer has been the same throughout human history, ever since Cain killed his brother Abel in a fit of jealous rage. And 2,000 years after Jesus told this story, the answer is still the same. After every mass shooting in modern American history, gun sales have skyrocketed. Is there an answer to violence besides more violence? Some seem to think so. In an interesting follow-up to the massacre in Las Vegas, this week, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to ICAN, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. This group sees nuclear weapons as a clear and present danger to the survival of humanity. and sees the abolition of those weapons as the only way to remove that danger. But in this violent world of ours, many powerful nations, including our own, believe that trying to ban nuclear weapons outright could bring us even closer to nuclear annihilation. And they may be right. So is there an answer to the violence that plagues our planet? Well, let's return to the gospel reading for some help. Although the parable Jesus told was just a story on one level, on another level, a more important level, it was quite real. The brutal tenants in the story were Jesus' opponents. Matter of fact, we're told that eventually they figured that out. Descendants of those who had rejected, beaten, and killed the prophets who came before Jesus, and the very ones who would soon succeed in their plot to put God's Son to a brutally violent death by nailing him to a cross. But here is where the story changes. Here at last, the endless cycle of violence stops. Through his bloody and violent death on the cross, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, took all the hatred and all of the violence of the world into his heart, and it killed him. But before he died, his answer to the violence was not an angry cry for retribution upon those who had put him there, but an appeal for mercy. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And after his Father raised him from the dead, the risen Christ did not hunt down those who had killed him and put those wretches to a miserable death, as his opponents had said. Instead, Jesus first forgave his friends who had abandoned him to his fate and sent them out to announce to this violent world full pardon and forgiveness of all sins to all nations. He sent them out not as invincible warriors, but as vulnerable lovers who would hold the world's hatred and violence in their own bodies and respond to that violence not with more hatred and violence, but with love, mercy, and forgiveness. This way of suffering, vulnerable love, which Jesus revealed and which Jesus lived every moment of his life to the fullest, this is the only true answer to violence. This is that race that we must run as Christians every moment of our lives, every day of our lives. The world wasn't ready for this message then. I don't think it's any readier for it now. It is still the stone which the builders rejected, that it is still the cornerstone of the new world of justice, love, and nonviolence, which God is even now creating, into which we witness with our very lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.